Yes, it's what's today, the 6th of September, and we have a new topic, which is about believing, which ties in with everything else, of course. But I was looking at some things about believing, and some of the things that I noticed are that God knows when a person believes. But it doesn't say that he knows when a person will believe. He leaves it up to the person. So it's every man's option, once he's heard the word of God, to believe it or not believe it. God knows when he does, but he doesn't determine or even, you know, say when a person will. Go to Genesis 15 is the first place where the word for believing is used in the Bible. And it's not the first occurrence of believing as far as the action of believing, but it's the first place where the word to believe is used, because we know that Abel believed. Right, and Enoch believed, and Noah believed. It says that in Hebrews 11. But in, it also said that Abraham believed. It mentions that in Hebrews 11. It mentions it in Romans 4. And it's recorded here in Genesis 15, verse 6, and documented for everyone, where it says that he believed, he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, still called Abram at this time, but he believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. So God knew when Abram believed. And it's written, only God knows the heart of a person, right? Because believing is on the inside, it's in the heart. And so in this verse, you know, God told him to go forth and count the stars and said, so shall thy seed be. You don't see any action that Abraham took at that moment to indicate that he believed. We know that he believed because it says so right here. And God's the one that gave his word to be written down. And it was written down hundreds of years after the fact. But it says at that point that he believed. That's how we know. If God hadn't had this recorded, we wouldn't know this, because there was no outward thing that showed that there was a difference. But on the inside, there was a change in Abram's heart. So when he did go out and try to count the stars and considered that God said, so shall thy seed be, there, it's like a transaction took place, you know? He believed, God saw that he believed, and God counted it to him for righteousness at that time. Now, did it come to pass yet? No, it's 25 years later before he even had child number one. So believing is not indicated by the timing of the results. Indicated is in happens within a person's heart. It's a decision that's made. You know, Abram decided to believe what God said. He determined to believe what God said. And it's as simple as that, really. It's just like, okay, I believe it. You know, and God knew exactly when that happened. Now, in contrast to that, let's look at Exodus 4. Now, God made a number of promises to Abraham, all of which have either come to pass or will come to pass in the future yet. There's still some things that are regarding his hope and our hope, you know, that he didn't see before he died. But God was faithful to bring to pass everything in its time. and he made promises regarding Abraham's seed. So a number of years later, around 400 years later actually, God's dealing with Moses regarding bringing his promises to pass for Abraham's seed, because they were in Egypt at the time, and God told them that they would be held captive and that he would release them. And in chapter 4, verse 1, after God had told Moses what the plan was, what he was supposed to do, verse 1, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." So Moses, you know, did he really know this? No, he's just, you know, saying, okay, God, you're telling me to go to these people that I haven't seen in 40 years. I left Egypt because I was, you know, murdered somebody. And you're telling me to go back there and tell them that you're going to bring them out? Why would they believe that I'm saying the truth? They're just going to think that I'm nuts. And that's when the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. We'll look at this record when we saw that God was teaching him how to do miracles.
That was faith there too, because you don't grab a snake by the tail.
Right. He was just doing exactly what God said, and that was believing on Moses' part. But here's what he told him after he did this. Verse 5, this is God telling Moses, "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." He said, do this, that they may believe. Now, notice the grammar that's used here, "that they may believe." Did he say that they absolutely will believe? Mm-hmm. He said, do this, that they may believe. Because believing is always an if. It's always on the part of the person whether they're going to believe or not. So do this, that they may believe. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Two miracles. One, instant leprosy, which usually takes a lot of time, and then instant healing, which like would usually not happen at all, because leprosy is not something you just get better from. It just runs its course normally. But look at verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So there was an if regarding the believing. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs. So there's still an if. Okay? Do these two miracles, but there's still going to be an if. If they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So he gave him a third one. Then Moses had more objections. God answered those, but eventually Moses and his brother Aaron went to the people of Israel, and skip down to verse 28. It says, and Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. So then it was Aaron throwing the stick on the ground and picking it up by the tail, and Aaron putting his hand in his bosom and pouring water out on the river, I guess. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. And they all lived happily ever after, right?
No,
because it wasn't long before they quit believing. You know, Moses talked to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, obviously, the people have too much time on their hands. We'll stop providing them with straw to make their bricks, but make sure that their quota's fulfilled and beat them if they don't do it. And then the people were just furious at Moses and said, like, who told you to talk to us anyway? Why don't you just go back to where you came from? So they quit believing. But there was another time where it does say that they did believe, and that's after the Red Sea parted and they walked through and the Egyptians were killed. Now this is interesting because I want to look at three different places that talk about this. First, Hebrews 11. And look at Hebrews and Psalms and also Exodus. Because when it comes to what happened and what was going on in people's hearts, any part of the Word of God that talks about that same thing is just as reliable as the original record, right? So if there's a psalm that talks about that record, that information is just as reliable as it is in Exodus, written by Moses, right? Whoever wrote Hebrews, what God had that person write about what happened thousands of years ago is just as reliable as the record in Exodus that Moses wrote. It doesn't matter whether there was an eyewitness account. What's more reliable is the information God gives. You know, Moses had no eyewitness account of what God said to Abraham, did he? But it was God that told Moses that Abraham believed at that point. In Genesis 15:6. That's how we know it. Now, Hebrews 11 talks about faith of various people in the Old Testament. And in verse 29 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. It says, by faith, they passed through. My question here is, was it the faith of all the people? Or it was somebody's faith, right? Let's look at Psalms 106. Psalms 106, we're going to read verses 7 through 12. It's an interesting psalm. Of course, you know, these are all songs. And the theme of this psalm seems to be, we suck, but God's great. You know? Psalm 106, verse 7 says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They didn't understand what the signs that God had done. It says, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. You know, when you read Hebrews 11:29, just all by itself, it says it's by faith they passed through. You think, okay, they came to the Red Sea. They all believed, you know, the waters parted. But let's see, there's more information about it. It says they didn't understand God's wonders in Egypt. They didn't remember the multitude of his mercies, but they provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for what?
His namesake.
There's sometimes God will do things for people not because they're believing, but for his own sake, for his own reasons, so that his reputation will stand, so that his words will not fail. And it says, he's nevertheless, beside, means in spite of the fact that they provoked him and they didn't understand, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated him, that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. God knows the point at which people believe, right? According to this, when did they believe?
When they saw.
Yeah, after they had passed through.
When they had pressure.
after their enemies were dead. Let's look at the record in Exodus 14. And we're going to start in verse 10. So after the Passover, they all packed up and headed to the wilderness and followed Moses wherever God would lead him. And they're in the wilderness, and they were getting close to the Red Sea. And verse 10 says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, because Pharaoh just decided, you know, we just let all our slaves go, we should get them back again. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Does this sound like words of believing?
Yeah.
I think that could be the provoking that Psalm 106 was talking about. It was a big provoking. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And you shall shut up. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow after them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. So Moses did exactly what God said to do. The waters parted. Israel, every one of them, passed through. Nobody got lost. Nobody got stuck in the mud. But the Egyptians, they went through, they did get stuck in the mud, and they all died when the waters came. Verse 31 says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So this indicates when the people believed. But did anyone believe before the waters parted?
Moses
did. Because what did Moses say before the waters parted? Verse 13. Read it again. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. He didn't put that in the maybe, he put it in the definite. Right? When a person believes, then the word of God is spoken of in definite terms, not in maybe terms. You know, He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So he believed. That's why when you go back to Hebrews 11, and we'll read a little bit of the context before verse 29. We'll start in verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Whose faith is it talking about there? Mm. Moses' faith, his believing. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover. It was Moses' faith regarding the Passover. The people followed along, yeah, but it was Moses' believing regarding the Passover. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. His believing protected all the other people. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. It was really by his faith, continuing in the context. By the faith of Moses, the people passed through the Red Sea. You see that? He's the one that believed. Everybody else was in panic mode. Everybody else said, we should have stayed in Egypt. We should have gone back there and served Pharaoh. Moses says, you shall see the Egyptians no more after today. God is going to save you. And then God gave Moses the instructions. Moses lifted his staff over the water. The waters parted. Then the people passed through. The Egyptians drowned trying to pass through. And then when all the Egyptians were dead, then it says the people believed. Like it said in Psalm 106, then they believed. You see? But all it takes is really one person believing many times for other people to get blessed by it.
Jesus Christ was the only one who believed when he was being crucified. I don't think there was anybody else that believed what he was doing.
Yeah.
Why he was doing it.
Yeah. He was the one. You know, sometimes it gets down to one person. You know? And still others will get blessed on account of that one person's believing. There are other times where, like, look at Numbers 14. There are other times when only the person believing gets to benefit. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, this, the context of this is when God told the people to go into the promised land, and they sent the spies, you know, the 12 spies for 40 days, and they came back with the report of the land. Two of those spies believed that they could go in, you know, Caleb and Joshua, because they said, let's go in. The other spies said, we can't, we're going to be killed, and our children and our wives are going to be killed by the people of this land. They forgot what God had done for them in Egypt and at the Red Sea. They forgot the word that had been spoken to them that they were to go into the land. They forgot the promise that God made to Abraham that had been confirmed to them. And God's reaction to them, you know, God's intention was for them to go in at that time, right? God didn't say, I'm going to tell you to go in, but you're not going to believe. No, his intention was for them to go. And then when they refused to believe, Here's what God said to Moses in chapter 14, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? The way this is written and the way God spoke about the believing of the people in other places, like that they may believe you. They might believe you. If they don't believe you, do this. It's like, when are they going to believe? Because God leaves it to people to believe or not to believe. He doesn't determine that or not. Now, did God's promise still come to pass for the seed of Abraham? Mm-hmm. 40 years later, it did. The people that didn't believe did not get to go in. Right? The people that did believe, Caleb and Joshua, and the next generation that believed, they did get to go in. The promise was to Abraham's seed. So those individuals could have believed and gone in, but they decided not to believe. It was their choice. That changed the timing of the events. It didn't change God fulfilling his word. He didn't fulfill it for those particular individuals because they refused it, you see. But ultimately, it still came to pass for the seed of Abraham just 40 years later. So there's times where God will just step in and take over and do it anyway for his own sake, and times where it's dependent upon the believing of the individuals involved, whether they will see the promise come to pass in their life. You see? Look, there's another interesting one in Exodus 19 I want to show you real quick. In Exodus 19, God is preparing Moses and the people for the big event where God would appear in smoke and fire on the top of the mountain, give the Ten Commandments audibly. So they had audible, miraculous, you know, the voice of God, trumpet, all that stuff, visual, smoke and fire. And God told Moses why he was going to do this. Because remember, he always made his acts known to the people of Israel, but he made his ways known to Moses, it says. In verse 9, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So this was God's intention, that the people would believe Moses forever when they saw this spectacle. Did the people believe Moses forever? No. 40 days, Moses is on the top of the mountain, they're making a golden calf. Right? God's intention was for this to have the effect on the people that they would believe Moses forever, but it was still up to the people whether they would or not. You know, so God didn't say at this point the people are not going to believe you. He's saying, I'm doing this so that they may believe you forever. He leaves believing up to the people. He doesn't determine whether they will believe or not. And a lot of these verses are written to indicate that he might not even know if people are going to believe, individuals are going to believe or not. He leaves that up to them. God doesn't just set a program and push a button and let it run. He's dealing with living people, living things, even animals. This bird here, she has a mind of her own. We can keep her in a cage, but, you know, she'll make noise and she'll want to get out and she'll fly where she wants to go. Sometimes we can predict where she's going to land because she likes to land on my shoulder. Usually immediately swing my shirt. But, and I think that all the animals out there, they all have a mind of their own. You know? Yeah, they do a lot of things by instinct, but they make decisions. They decide what they're going to do. And people, they make decisions, they decide what they're going to do. They decide if they're going to believe or not. Let's look at Mark chapter 1. It was interesting, I was knowing what I was going to teach, I listened to the manifestations very carefully, and the prayers, and I think when Phil opened with prayer, he talked about things that we can believe, and that's in the, you know, it's in the possible, right? It's not in the definite, because believing is not definite. It's still, it's always an option. When God spoke in the manifestations of himself and of his word, it was always in the definite. Right? But when he spoke about what we can do and what he told us to do, it's like, that's up to you now. You see, that's how God deals with people. He designed us this way. He designed living things, particularly people, to have their own will. To make their own decisions. And the most basic decision is to believe or not to believe, once you've heard something. Mark 1, verse 15, when Jesus Christ started his public preaching ministry, verse 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." He told the people, here's the message. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, this is up to you. Repent, have a change of heart, and believe the gospel. That's what it is to repent in this case, is to change from not believing to believing. But he told them to do it, and then it was up to the people to respond. It's never up to the preacher how the people are going to respond to the preaching. Right? The preacher is never responsible for the response, only responsible to deliver the message accurately. Let's go to chapter 5. But, you know, some people did believe and some people didn't. Mark chapter 5, verses 35-36, this is regarding Jairus, whose daughter was sick and then died before Jesus Christ could get there. It's that pesky woman with that issue of blood. Gummed up the works for Jairus. As far as Jesus Christ was concerned, that was important to deal with. And then back to Jairus. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." It was important that that man believe in Jesus Christ. He stepped in, but he didn't say, "Don't worry, you know, I'm going to take care of it." He said, "No, be not afraid, only believe. Now it's up to you to believe." And he did believe, because his daughter got healed. Jesus Christ was able to heal his daughter. Let's look at chapter 9. In verse 17, let's start. When Jesus came down off the mountain where they had the vision of Moses and Elijah. Verse verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless, or unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? God asked the same question about Israel after that incident at Kadesh Barnea. How long is it going to be before they believe me? Jesus Christ asked the same question. How long am I going to put up with you, you unbelieving generation? Verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? When did this start? He said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. A lot of people, when they're in a desperate need and things are unbearable, they go to God with this, you know, if you can do anything, please help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Some of the Greek texts eliminate that word believe after the word canst. And some of the very reliable ones, you know, Trigelius and Tischendorf. And it would read, if thou canst, exclamation point, all things are possible to him that believeth. The word possible and the word can are the same Greek root. You know, it's the word from, we get dunamis from, ability. So he said, if you are able to help us, please help us. He said, if you are able, you know, if it is possible, all things are possible. It is able, you know, it is possible, all things, to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Almost seems like a contradiction there. Says, I do believe, help me, help my unbelief. But what he's saying is, okay, I'm going to believe. Help me. Help me here. I've decided to believe. Help me get rid of this unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and said unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So, but the point is that it wasn't the severity of the situation that moved anything. Right? Sometimes you go to God and it's unbearable, God. I can't stand it. It hurts so bad. It's been so long. You know, do something because it's been so bad. And Jesus said, look, it is possible if you believe. Believing the word of God makes it possible. Focusing on the severity of the issue does not. It's as if we're trying to move God out of pity. But he wants us to stand on his word, to believe his word in spite of the circumstances, in spite of how awful it is, in spite of how these things keep screaming at your senses. Once his word is given and his word is believed, then it can come to pass. You see, that's what Jesus Christ was saying here. When it comes to salvation, it's a big if, right? Romans 10:9, the word of faith that was preached is, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and if thou believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The believing is an if. The shalt be saved is the definite. You see? grammatically, the if is what's called the subjunctive mood. That means there's a possibility, but there's a condition involved. The thou shalt be saved is what's called the indicative mood. It just states the fact. Thou shalt be saved. Even if it's in the future, it's stated in the indicative or the definite. You know. But the if is what you do. So God doesn't determine who's going to be saved. The person determines if they are going to be saved now that this word of faith has been preached. Okay? The person determines if they're going to believe. The person determines if they're going to confess it with their own mouth. If they fulfill the conditions, then the salvation is the definite. It's neat that when it comes to the gathering together, there's no if about that. The if has already been handled for those that believe. Okay, once you believe, that's the way some people ask, why is it, do people call it the rapture when the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible? But if you look at 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll just end here. First Thessalonians 4. And it will start in verse 14. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So the if, again, has, for us, has already been settled. But the believing is where the if always is. But once the believing is done, God knows the point at which a person believes. So for those that do believe, it's like a since we believed. You know, it's because we fulfilled the condition that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's in the indicative, that's in the definite sense. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. All in definite terms. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There's no if about this. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead will not have to decide whether they're going to rise or not. Like, they can't make that decision. They're dead. They're going to be raised up. That's going to be done for them. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a definite. Those that are alive, that have fulfilled the believing condition, shall be caught up. The word caught up is the word where they get the word rapture from. It's
and the new grabbed?
Yeah. They'll be grabbed. They'll be snatched.
Like a raptor.
Yeah, like a raptor will grab its prey. Will be no choice involved on the part of the people. They're going to be taken.
Oh, so that's easy.
Yeah. If anyone has
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. If anyone can look up that word right now.
I can do it.
Everybody's
at home.
Does he have any pocket sword or sword light edition?
So the word caught up is the one you're...
Yeah.
Because I don't... When I hear the word rapture, I don't think of being caught up. I think of, like, bliss.
Harpazo.
What is it?
Harpazo.
Yeah, that's the one.
Harpazo?
Purple.
And what do they have?
Just seize, carry off by force, to seize on, claim for oneself eagerly, to snatch out or away.
Yeah, and that's where they get the word rapture from, because that word rapture, we think of it as a big emotional...
bliss.
Emotional
right,
thing.
But
the origin of that word is like you're taken by emotion. You know? It's like where we get the word raptor from. Like hawks and eagles are raptors that will grab live prey. Like the velociraptor in Jurassic Park. Because they're fast and they grab with their claws. You know, so we're... That's... So it's an archaic definition of rapture. You know, it, so it doesn't have to do with the emotions. It has to do with the grabbing. So that harpazo, that's what that word means. So everyone that's alive, you don't know how many are going to be alive at that time, but God's going to be grabbing them.
The transliteration is H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. I guess it's technically like
right.
Harpazo.
Right. So no choice in the matter there on the part of the individuals involved. But as far as who does get raised up or who does get grabbed or caught up at that time, that's up to each one to decide. So as the word is preached, you know, people decide whether they're going to believe it or not. Everyone has the option. God gives each person the option to believe or not to believe. And then regarding salvation, and then regarding anything else in the Word of God. You know, once you have the Word of God, you can believe it or not believe it. It's up to you. God will always do what He promises, but it's up to you to believe it. And again, the indicator of your believing is not the when you see the results, it's when you decide to believe. So the good news is, we always have the option to receive the promises of God. We always have the option to believe, and we always have God's faithfulness to do what He promised that He would do, because He's always in the definite. His word is always in the definite. The only variable is up to us, so that puts a lot in our hands that's available to us. So thank you, God, for being so good, for designing life the way You willed it to be so, and for giving every human being the option to believe the word that we have heard. We thank You that we have, each of us in this room, have heard that word and decided to believe it, and enjoy all the benefits and blessings that You have already given to us and those that are assured in the future. And we thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.